Well, just looking at where things have been going in the US, obviously, you know, we've had a lot of focus on President Trump's policy announcements. And in amongst those, you know, we've had a few tariff announcements and some retaliatory tariff announcements. And the markets have started to look at the worst side of this, and they're saying, look, you know, this is probably going to drive the US economy towards recession. And there's still a little bit of inflation in pulse, but for the time being, you know, we're out of risk assets, and we're moving more towards buying government bonds. There was a slight reversal of that when we went to Friday, when there was a bit of a bounce running through markets. But it's still a bit of a parity view in some ways, because the US economy is actually moving along relatively well. So we didn't get a lot more data last week. But, for example, what we did get, we got the CPI for the most recent month. And, if anything, that allays slightly the near-term fear of inflation. So we had the February CPI, it was up 0.2%. The annual rate of change for inflation came down to 2.8% from 3%. Yeah, the market was looking for one notch higher than that, looking for about a 2.9% inflation rate. So, you know, slightly better news running through there. Core CPI too went in the right direction, and that was up 0.2% compared with 0.4% the month before. As a result of that, the annual rate of the core inflation came down from 3.3 to 3.1. Still pretty high, and it still doesn't leave much room for the Fed to do much in terms of monetary policy. I'll get onto that for this week, because the Fed actually meets this week. But if we, yeah, the one activity number that we got through the course of last week, well, we got the weekly initial jobless claims. And it's interesting, it came down to 220,000. The week before was 222,000. We had one week where we had a blip to 242,000. And this has been one of the fears that, you know, maybe, you know, the labour market is going to start to weaken off quite a bit. No sign of that in this. You know, we're still holding things together pretty well. And yeah, I suspect the reasons for that are that when you cut below the volatility running through financial markets, most economic indicators are still pointing to the US economy growing around trend, and that's generating good employment growth still. And whilst it's doing that, you know, the risk of recession is actually quite low, much lower than the market's factoring in at the moment with the way in which it's reacting. So I suppose what I'm saying is I'm expecting a lot of volatility through market sentiment. It won't always be on the negative, and I think we saw a bit of that blip sort of coming through on Friday. We had more inflation data later last week, where we had February producer price index and the core producer price index. Again, these ones were on the low side of market expectations. So the February PPI in the US was flat. That brought the annual rate of producer price inflation down to 3.2 from 3.7, and the core PPI was up 0.2%. That reduced the annual rate just one notch to 3.3 from 3.4. It's not saying there's still not an inflation problem in the US. There is, and yeah, we'll hear more about that when Jerome Powell speaks about this week. Yeah, much of the policy initiatives that are coming through from the administration, they have more of an inflation edge than a growth dampening edge. So that's where I think the risk lies. And if anything, the market has reacted too much. It's the safe haven market, and that's the way in which bond yields have come down. Just looking at some of those data releases before the Fed meets on Wednesday this week, tonight we'll get February. The other figure I should have mentioned from last week too was we had the March preliminary consumer sentiment reading. You know, certainly the volatility in policy announcements is making consumers a little bit more wary. So the preliminary consumer sentiment survey came down to 57.9 from 64.7. But they're also saying we expect a lot more inflation. And inside that survey, we have both one-year and five-year inflation expectations. The one-year inflation expectations, going back a month ago, we had that big lift from 3.2 to 4.3. It's gone up again to 4.9. That's pretty high. And the five-year inflation expectations, which again went up from around 3 to 3.5 last month, has gone up again to 3.9 over 5 years. So, you know, the expectations of inflation hanging around are certainly growing in the United States. And that's where I think bond buyers beware. You know, this is something which is just bubbling away there. And we'll probably hear a little bit about that from Jerome Powell when we get the Fed meeting on Wednesday going into Thursday morning our time this week. But the data that comes out before that meeting, we had things like February retail sales. We are expecting a bounce on that. There was quite a weak January retail sales response. It was down 0.9% for the headline and down 0.4%. The expectation is we get some recovery in that and we'll have a plus 0.6% reading for the month of February. Then core retail sales up about 0.3%, so picking up again a little bit. We've got the Empire State Survey coming out tonight. That's for New York State. This had a bit of a lift to plus 5.7 going back last month. There's some expectation it might dip below zero again, you know, given that we've had these volatile announcements coming through from the administration. We'll wait and see whether that comes through. What I would say is that, you know, things like the ISM manufacturing PMI, that's been pretty firm the last couple of months. So, you know, that, if anything's been picking up. And in some ways, why wouldn't it? Because some of these policies that President Trump's talking about, they're all about onshoring and bringing demand back to local manufacturers and away from manufacturers overseas. So it'd be surprising, you know, if we get too much weakness running through these leading indicators of manufacturing sentiment. On Tuesday, we'll get building permits for the month of February, housing starts for the month of February. They were down last month, but yeah, May, they're expected to be up slightly for the month of February. We get industrial production coming out before the FOMC meeting. That was actually pretty good last month. It was up 0.5%. Expect to be up 0.2% again. And then we get the FOMC meeting where we are expected to go sideways. You know, that's the way Jerome Powell's been speaking. He's more worried about the inflation consequences of what's coming through. He thinks the economy's doing fine, much the same way as we think it's actually been going, not too badly. And so he's expected to leave the Fed funds rate at 4.5%. Interestingly, to the north, Canada, which actually had their meeting last week, they dropped their cash rate by 25 basis points to 2.75%, way lower than the US, but there's a good reason for that. Canada's in a very deep recession at the moment, and much of that's being added to by the policies that America's imposing on its near neighbour. So, yeah, very different economies when you're looking at Canada to the north and when you're looking at the US and where that's travelling. We get, after the Fed, initial jobless claims again. At the moment, it's jogging along in the 220,000, still pointing to a tight labour market. And we get the March Philadelphia Fed survey comes out. That was pretty strong last month, plus 18.1. There's some expectation it might come back, but I'll still have a positive sign on the front of it. Plus 9.4 is the market expectation on that. So we've got this, if you like, split between what the market has been saying until perhaps Friday when there was a bit of a bounce, and what's actually happening through the economic numbers, where it's still a very tight labour market, good income growth in the US, high real wage growth. That doesn't speak of a recession ahead. Whereas the market's worried that somehow the policies of Trump are going to actually drive the economy into a recession. It would be remarkable if that happened. Now, looking at China, there wasn't much in the case of data last week, but this week we have all the major ones coming through. So we've got fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales, house prices, and the unemployment rate, all for the month of February. And what we're looking at there is fixed asset investment spending probably going sideways, plus 3.2% year on year, the same as the month before. February industrial production, if anything, settling back a bit, plus 5.3% the market thinks when that comes out later today, from plus 6.2% year on year the month before. They're hoping for a little bit of an improvement running through February retail sales, so looking for that to lift to perhaps plus 4% from plus 3.7. So if anything, sort of mild improvement running through those numbers. February house prices, there's no expectation on that. They improved, can't really call it an improvement. They went from minus 5.3% to minus 5% last month. You know, they're still falling at 5% year on year on the official data. So still looking for that to be pretty weak. There's not been a lot of change there. And the unemployment rate, well, it's a strange figure in China. Nobody thinks it's particularly accurate, but it was sitting at 5.1% last month and expect to be the same this month. At the end of the week, we get the People's Bank of China. We did have the People's Congress meeting going back over this last week or so, and they're talking about fiscal stimulus coming through. The market thinks they're going to go sideways with the People's Bank of China, leaving interest rates at 3.6%. Yeah, if anything, I think there's a chance that they might bring it down a bit, given the way in which those policy initiatives were announced going back over a week ago. Moving to Australia, and we had largely sentiment surveys came out last week. So we had the NAB business survey for February. Confidence is being hit a bit, obviously, by the tariff talks around steel and aluminium, and even the possibility that could get extended to agricultural products. We had almost a road to Damascus epiphany last week, where suddenly we realised that the US is not going to make a special case for us. We're not that great a friend to them, and we're in it with everybody else in terms of the tariff hits that come through from the US. And so business confidence for February came down to minus one from plus five going back the previous months. A bit of a slippage there. But business conditions were actually okay. It was plus three going back the month before. It went to plus four, actually lifted a bit. And it was a similar story with Westpac consumer sentiment for March. And, of course, this came after an interest rate cut. Going back the month before, we had a 0.1% increase in consumer sentiment. We had a 4% lift in consumer sentiment for the month of March. So those figures still suggest that the Australian economy, that lift we saw in economic activity running through Q4 GDP, and with some of the early figures we're looking at in January, they look as if they're reasonably good too, appears to be continuing as far as these sentiment surveys are concerned. This week, we get the labour force data, and labour force data has been so strong, unusually strong for this time of year, and it's still expected to be there with the numbers that come out on Thursday. So employment, it lifted 44,000 going back to the month of January. It's expected it probably lifted another 30,000 in February, and the participation rate, a huge record high, running at 67.3%, but expect to hold that level. And the unemployment rate just going sideways at 4.1%, still very, very low. So we've still got very, very tight labour market conditions running through Australia. You'll probably get some speculation this week too about what will be in the budget. The budget's not due this week, it's due the following week. And of course, there was some expectation the budget would never be brought down because the election would have been called by now and Parliament would have risen. Well, obviously the budget has to go forward now, and so that'll be not this coming Tuesday but the Tuesday after. And what's needed is some signs of restraint running through government spending. What we won't get is that, if anything, it's going to be a pretty free spending budget again as it runs straight into an election. That's about a week hence. But these sorts of things, the tight labour market, still very, very easy government spending, all of them are priming demand here in the Australian economy. And that's probably going to be a bit restrictive as far as the Reserve Bank here is concerned. They don't meet again till April, but the next meeting is going to be very, very hard-pressed to be able to deliver another interest rate cut. Just watching that as we go through. Moving to Europe and March, Centix investor confidence improved a lot to minus 2.9 from minus 12.7. Now, there's some reason for that. You know, obviously, we had the election in Germany, and one of the biggest constraints, you know, Germany's the weak part of the European economy. It really is. It's been jogging in around recession for the last couple of years. And part of the problem there is that, unlike the rest of the world, there's this very tight constraint on what the government can spend. So its structural budget deficit can't go to more than minus 0.3% of GDP. Whilst the party is likely to form a coalition there, we'll get the full details of that over the next week or so. We still got the existing Bundestag, where the CDU, the party that effectively won the last election, together with its likely partner, they've still got a two-thirds majority until the new Bundestag sits. And so, there have been some moves by the new chancellor to cut into that tight restraint that's there from the budget cap. And so it's giving some confidence that there's going to be more government spending coming out of Germany, something we haven't had for a very long time. And so that might be just marching its way towards giving a lift to European economic growth. So there's a little bit of sentiment shift towards things getting rather better than worse. This week in Europe, before we get the ECB meeting on Thursday, we've had the ECB meeting. It's the Bank of England who meets this week. They're actually likely to leave their base rate unchanged at 4.5%. But this week we've got data in the January trade balance. Trade's been going pretty well in Europe. They had a bigger than expected trade surplus going back to December at 15.5 billion euro. It's expected to come back a little, but of course there's some worries on the horizon that may come back even more with the type of tariff war that's starting to occur. We get ZEW economic sentiment coming out. There's expected to be a major lift in that. It was at 24.2. Going back last month, it's expected to lift to 43.6. That would be a very strong result. It's largely on the way in which the prospects of German government spending are lifting. We've got the fourth quarter labour cost index. Labour costs are still pretty high in Europe. They were up 4.6% year on year, going back to Q3, and expect to be around that level again for Q4. So that broadly is the run of data that we're looking at running through the course of this week. If anything, you shouldn't read too much into what happened on Friday, but it looks as if there's just a slight reassessment. We've got a lot of volatility running through at the moment, and until Friday, much of that was running towards the worst possible expectations of what's happening from the policy changes in the United States. It was all entirely focused on bad Trump rather than some of good Trump. I think it may balance off a little bit as we go through the course of this week. But what I'm most worried about is that bond yields really have fallen too far for the time being relative to the inflation outlook in most places. And so that's where the risk is, that we might get some pickup in some of those yields as we go a bit further forward.